No executive order. And got a lot of praise from guys like Tom McCall and got a fair amount of a great environment. We got a fairly easy process on that. They sent for the environmental group to make a good care of things, obviously, that.
It tends to have how somebody really stands when you affect his close-in interest, and then you find out.
Boy, reported to you that he can sell a lot of airplanes overseas. In really getting Northrop and other guys in here and giving them a better degree, it develops that there are almost no present possibilities. There's a lot of rhetoric, but there are no present possibilities with one very small exception. So there's no quick fail on that, but we are laying a line down so that Zoom all of us can solicit business and move this to future sales. Right, it's big on the report that you don't need to look at.
Push it for all sorts, right?
Clinton's apparently is confirmed that Bob may have gone into this week. I called him on it, but it's from record reading that if we get out of early enough, he'd get 22 to 34 negative votes, and it'll probably be between 4 and 6 week delay between nomination and confirmation, during which he'd get bumped pretty hard. But he can be confirmed. And so he would see there as a good best run.
Explore it and do it on its own, and then come back and make a recommendation to me on
Well, it is, except that Rehnquist said he's not going to work, and so referred him to somebody else. And so we'll need to over on that.
Just wanted to also just be.
Matter of fact, I've been talking to this guy about his interest to be heard. Terrible result that we're Mercedes. There are other cases that are there coming. And you're gonna have some really crazy stuff happening. Now the question is, what do we do to try and stop it?
The only thing that occurs to me is this. I'm not so interested in stopping it, which I think is probably impossible at this point. Because of the judges you've got. But I'm very interested in having a strong position that has been taken. That's why I'd like some legislation, well, if we can. I cannot believe that there can't be some legislation for it. Now, I understand you rejected the constitutional amendment.
Don't lay that on me quite yet. That very well may be something we don't have any choice on. Griffin, I was with the leadership up there this morning, and Griffin is hell-bent for this thing. So is Baker. So are a lot of Democrats. And you just may have to take a position on that, even though you might decide you didn't want it.
Well, of course, I can't think about it in the past. It's like the
Easter. Well, but it may be one of those issues. You know, you'll stand up at press conferences.
Oh, yes.
Oh, you are. There you are. We're not just wiping that off the page and saying that's something that we don't have to worry about. It constitutional amendments is very thing we have
Griffin and Baker agree on the form of the amendment.
No, there's seven different forms of them. And none of them are very good.
Griffin's is not very good.
No, and they all have side effects. It's like penicillin, you know, it'll cure your disease, but it'll create nine other problems for you. And
we may have to come up with a constitution.
Well,
far better to have a poor constitutional amendment than a very, very bad one.
Yeah. It's done all that work, and we've got one that's available if that's what we have to do.
Legislation, no way.
Legislation, there's several different things that could be proposed, but
make it all bad.
Frankly, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to suggest to you. I'm inclined to think rather than any sort of legislation, which is, then becomes an albatross around your neck, every comma and every cross T, that a clear statement on the subject might be the best thing for you to do. Where do I stand? Well, I stand here. And maybe it's in a press conference, maybe it's a written statement, maybe it's something else. But it's the best protection you have against because of the thought you would give of getting into it. It's the best protection you have against unforeseen side effects. And, Humphrey's statement is a pretty good example. He tried to have it both ways. And he said in this television piece that he's for the neighborhood school and he's for, how do you put that? Well, he said the problem really isn't busing, the problem here is quality education.
You don't think so?
And these guys, Rotor and Apple and the others, didn't let him get away from the fact.
they break right in, so you're not in. Sure surprising.
Beyond that, I think.
Maybe they're trying to outride the weather.
So at the same time, it seems to me that under what in this town has to be general needling, they went after them to be sure, but everybody that's gone to press is
questioning me.
And then he lost his temper. I mean, he just blew his cool completely. And you sort of get this impression. I watched him. Now, a man with a very low boiling point.
Yeah. Okay, that is all of the list that I really need to get into. We've got the problem with executive salaries, but that's something we can deal with much later in the game. That is all I have to do. Out front, where he makes speeches, fight for his little piece of ground here, my friend. They sure fighting for that little piece of territory. That's part of Russia's problem. I'm just fighting for it because he says all the state has to do is the economic side. So it's to take this away from us. But we do well. The whole point is we won't take it away if he'll reorganize about that department, put some competent men in there to run. Isn't that right?
They're not doing it now.
No. The point is that they do not have people as representatives, commercial attachés, worth up to their mark. They are not up to the mark. You know what I'm saying?
They have their both levels of work are wanting with that. One level is sort of the policy type stuff, monetary and trade and all that. What should be our stance and how should we do that? That you can think of as economic. Then there's just the humdrum work in an embassy, helping the businessman who comes over and wants to know how the hell you find your way around in this.
Oh, yeah, where's the who do you talk to in this country? I mean, who's on first and rest? Hell, they don't do that
either.
They'll take them out to dinner, and they're very gracious, and they're good at meeting them at the airports and all the rest, and they can speak the language. And you see, most of the people who criticize state, yeah, the Americans is a pretty good example of it, but did it for the wrong reason. They said, well, the main thing for our foreign service officer is that he must identify with the people and speak the language and wear their clothes and put samples on and all the rest. That isn't the problem with our people. Trouble with the State Department people is they lack principle and frankly knowledge in the fields that really amount to anything. They don't really have to that business problem. They can't relate to that relationship. Now they're against you. They're against you because they grew up frankly at a fucking school and then they this and that and the other thing where they are taught that business is evil. Well, the commerce guys that we saw in Japan are doing a pretty good job. Are they? They're from the Department of Commerce, from agriculture. Not supposed to be there, and they're not supposed to be there. But they are there, and they suffer. The attaché, the State Department guy, really doesn't have a strong connection to that. He sort of works with the government.
It's a real dilemma, it seems to me, because it's easy to say they're not doing a job, so get the stuff out and let somebody else do it. At the same time, when you consider broadly the importance of having some kind of coordinated U.S. mechanism abroad, whether it's run by the State Department or the Treasury or anybody else, you need to have that, just as we have struggled to get some kind of coordinated presidential regional council out in Denver in the United States. You need to have something like that, and somebody has to be in charge. And I suppose what you need is strong ambassadors who will take charge, but they in turn themselves need to have some kind of knowledge and institutional base to go on. So if the State Department is shattered, as it can very easily just fall into total disrepair, then we'll have to invent a new State Department or a new
thing. The difficulty at the present time, George, is that Kissinger operation, which in view of my own lack of confidence in the State Department, FSOs, has been indispensable to me, and of course very helpful.
Sure.
But the Kissinger operation, on the other hand, has been very detrimental state. And detrimental, many times needlessly so. But that's pretty much a personality. But the problem is that Henry is the distinguished from the two of you. We all bright people are Harry. they're not arrogant, they know they're smart, they're confident. But when you consciously and deliberately, over and over again, humiliate proud man, inevitably you set up an impossible situation. And that's what Henry has done. He humiliates these people. I mean, in these so-called Edison papers, a few of the cops got the point. And as they pointed out, there was nothing new in them, but it was a fascinating study of the inner workings of the department of the bureaucracy. I'll say it was, because you saw Henry and Cisco and others in each other's throat and so forth and so on. He probably didn't say that Henry spawned out of the room, but all the other things he usually does. But the point is that is a problem, you see, that you have. The state thing is so sensitive. I have usually gotten along. Although, as a finished Kissinger, I have much more suspicion of him and much more contempt for him than he has. He's one of them, in a sense. He has great respect for their liberal background and training and so forth. And I have yet to know on a major issue when the State Department was right. Because I fought the coup here. They were wrong on China, they were wrong on Timor and Mads, or they were wrong on Cuba. You know, I could go on down the line. And I've been through it all with them. I could have told this to Bill once. But the point is, the State Department has to be led. Now, where Bill has missed the mark, and we all respect him, and here's where Henry is missing too. Henry said Bill is dumb, not smart. He's so wrong. Bill is smart as hell. Bill is not profound, but he has other things, you know. He's quick, intelligent, pliable, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. He has never wanted to want to sit and discuss, I mean, the long range things. He's always been terribly concerned about tomorrow's story at his center. But the problem that we have here is that Bill has made a fatal error in terms of his own place as Secretary of State and in history. He has panted so much to be liked by his colleagues in the State Department that the State Department runs him, rather than his running the State Department. He has panted so much to be liked by the press that cover the State Department, that the press run him, rather than them. Now the net result of all this, if you were to ask the people of the State Department, and the people of the press that cover the State Department, do you like Bill Rogers, you'd get about 90%. If, on the other hand, you were to poll the country, in terms, do you know Rogers, the Secretary of State, who he is? Or do you consider him a strong Secretary of State? You might hit 30. Now, that's a tragedy. It's a tragedy because a man so able should cause it. He would tend to blame that on Kissinger. Because, well, God damn, Kissinger's out there getting all the headlines and the rest. But you see, if Bill, when we've had to go through some pretty goddamn hairy experiences around here, riots in the streets, he never stepped up and hit it. He couldn't. Can't believe it. Laos, November 3rd, so forth and so on. You never saw him hit something. He did it well once everybody knew it was coming. You know what I mean?
That's clear.
Well, pretty much. Not always. No, he was in fairness. I called him once a couple of times, and he made those statements. But the once or twice he has, he's gotten his best headlines. But he doesn't really feel it. His whole theory has been, unfortunately, is how did I do? Did they like me? And because I've often said to you about the press conferences I do and so forth, rather hates my guts. Press hated my guts. But they may respect me. This is the difference, for example, the only man who was really Secretary of State since probably Cordell Hull, the only man. Now, he wasn't much, I mean, he's better than average. And I say he wasn't much, he was at least a certain couple of old folks. He was uncomfortable, he was Foster Dulles. Now, I don't want to say Foster was right, he's wrong about Suez, for example. He's wrong about the Aslan Dam. But Foster Dulles, nobody in the press liked him. Nobody in the state of the press liked him. He'd have gotten a 30% rate in terms of the new life Foster Dulles. But if you ask the people of America or the world, who is the Secretary of State, 90% knew. And when he died, the whole goddamn world came to see him because he was a man. Now, if only people with the government around could learn that. I mean, it's just, I don't know what it is. It's this damn media obsessed world we live in. I don't mean I want people to go out and be unpopular and mean and controversial and the rest of that. There's a line in between. But believe me, you if you're particularly in state, you cannot amount to a damn if you're constantly, you know, sucking up to these guys. I mean, I know them. And it's about when he's gone, they'll turn on. He'll leave no legacy of love. He written it out.
Well, they will realize that under his leadership, the department has fallen into total disrepair. And that is, I think, that's the problem in the long run. That, and maybe it ought to be allowed to just disintegrate. But I think that if we don't have a State Department, we have to invent one. And,
speaking of foreign affairs, you have an embargo, as I understand it, on White House staff and administration people going abroad during this year. Because I'm traveling. You're gone a good deal, but I think we've got to appear to be working on some of the problems at home front. People go galloping around. They're going to accuse me of it. If I think of others do it, I don't think it's going to be. But there can all be exceptions. Well, then those exceptions ought to be stamped out, I take it. Oh, absolutely, okay. Like, for example, if there's some important mission to, like, Tommy has to go to Paris to negotiate the Chile loan. But you got this stuff on the environmental conference that is the big buzzline. All that is buzzing, all flies buzzing.
That is a problem, okay. That's different. What I mean is, I don't want any more of the junk and stuff. I mean, like the Romney turned out through Europe and what we do wrong.
The dead one. Another problem for me is this. I don't want anybody to go abroad that has to back my report. No, really, I'm serious. I just have to China. And I love to have them go. One of the other countries to go, and I might just find things, good education, good environment, for any purpose. Oh, that's fine. Environmental conference is great. We should be represented. Our people should go and build it in. Oh, that's fine. No problem. And a monetary conference. A conference on drugs. Fine. But don't. I'm not going to send like Fancy Rumsfeld to go run around to Europe again or something. That was mine last year, not this year. See, you can see the difference. Oh, that's what I meant.
Okay.
No, I had known that the embargo was allowed to not do it with substance. It had to do with some kind of form. No, I really am very, very sorry about what's happened. You see, I, having said what I have about the State Department people, I've known many of them through the years, and I met them abroad, and I know, you know, God, they went into the service with, you know, starry-eyed, some of them are really superb men. They're fine people, fine, loyal people, too. Let's say, this is just business that they're not as sophisticated or good, well-mannered, and don't speak the language, and so. Look, the Russians are a bunch of barbarians abroad. The British are all washed out. The Americans are usually the best ambassadors abroad. Usually. The problem with most of our career, you do the same. Ben is that.
I guess they're obsolete. And I guess really the real problem is they believe in nothing. They got to believe in something.
That's the real point.
They've got to believe in something, you know. And you know, I think that maybe to an extent Bill's problem. Bill is so tactical that he doesn't believe. Now, Hammer, on the other hand, is totally a, well, he wants to be tactical in the rest.
Now that shows up in their method of negotiation.
Yeah,
because their style is to start negotiating and maybe something to work out and have an end result.
Try to throw him against the wall. You know, we sit in our security council meetings and they're almost painful. They are painful because we do discuss matters that we solve and that way. And we'll try to give the background, the options, the rest, the bills, the patients, how much of all it's not what to do. And we're going to talk about all this cost and so forth. And what are their motives? Or why do we think we're doing this? That it's very impatient about that. And of course, that's the most important thing. Because once you have decided what you think the other guy's up to and what your motives are, what their interests are, what your interests are, it is then that you are guided into whatever tactical move you want. The tactics are very important because they can ruin the best strategy, but God save us from tacticians if you are not strategists. That's the problem. You've got to think it through. You always have to do it. I like your, you know, you're working out your deal or not. Because I'm sorry, you can't just say, well, what are we going to say to Bridges today? You've got to say, now, what are we going to come up with now? Why? What are the great forces? Our problem, of course, most people really want to be strategists. Usually you don't have enough tacticians to want to be the right to come down students.
Economists want to be politicians, and the politicians don't want to be economists.
You know, people are much more tolerant now than they were, and they should be. They should be. Anybody, as you have, the worst cases might. Never seen one yet where the fault was on my side. Have you?
I have handled one divorce case in my career. I have. That's all I did. That one criminal case, one
is enough. What we get is young lawyers. There wasn't much else to do. Default divorce is a large one. So that's the story that's very bad. The story we told, we had to go through approval and all that sort of thing. But I could talk. There are always use the woman. You can talk to the woman. Do damn well if the fault wasn't on the guy. Graves had appeared in court goal. Worried about that. I just cried. I said, I'm going to start going and taking Kennedy in the balls. Yeah. That's making me feel better.
Well, that's leadership.
Well, I think so. If they were that Kennedy speech, you know, Colin Mason this morning, he was really mad.
Yeah.
He said to me, he said, you know what he did? No, for not that. He said, here's Fred Harris. Of course, this is all Colin.
Mm-hmm.
Saying that Connally got Nixon oil money in Texas in 68 because Nixon sold out on depletion, for Christ's sakes. I was for depletion before John Connally probably fought on it because I was a young lawyer in California in 1939 and 40, you know, and depletion saved those stripper wells in Santa Fe Springs.
Well, the French, you took into Texas, you were for depletion.
I've been for a long time. I've always worked for it. Everybody knew that. And I never waited one bit. But, and the other point was, they forget to mention, Connally supported Humphrey in 68. He went to the acting room with him. That's why we lost Texas. So all that, but that one, so they
got
a
big headline.
And now they,
Harris got a hell of a headline in the Post.
So they, when actually they went and dig up such crap as they used to do and so forth. That's fascinating. Biography's gotten a hell of a show.
You know, he used his lawyers were in there yesterday, seeing John Dean.
What do they want to do?
They want to, they said it was mail fraud. They filed a complaint with the Justice Department, and they say this is an absolutely phony deal. They can prove
it. I'm feeling it is.
And Mayhew is probably behind it.
Mayhew, it sounds like,
yeah. And Dean said they are really steamed up. They're loaded with affidavits.
So the one thing about it is my unfortunate, stupid brother, you know what, one thing about it, the plus that I was out, which I noticed, one network was, decent enough to put out, was that with all the sadness of the goddamn thing, my poor pauper mother, in order to save her dumb son, turned over a $225,000 piece of property. I'm satisfied alone.
Yeah.
So satisfied. Right?
That was carried in the first square.
But it's true. That was absolutely true. Incidentally, I was the one that made it do it. My mother called and asked whether she should do it. I said, of course she's going to do it. So, but anyway, my point is, too, that he knew the only time I never met you, like most other people, but I talked to him on the phone once. He called me, interested in, you know, what about 1959? He wanted to be sure when I went to Russia that we took a 707. He said, that's one thing we're ahead of them. Be sure you take a 707, and we did. That was all the time. Power tubes. Versus only ever that ever heard of. So you read all this crap and bother about it. But also, here's the take on the economy. They call what Kennedy said, that I'm delaying that the war, I'm trying to keep two in power in order to be sure of the election and all that sort of thing. It was a vicious stuff, and when you say the leadership doesn't matter, they were mad enough to go out and do something about it.
That's exactly what happened. We were sitting in Scott's office, and Scott, interestingly enough, brought it up, and then Jerry packed in and blessed and so on. And they were really steamed up, and McGregor said, okay, I've got a speechwriter in the outer office. His name's Noel Cook. He's got a speech for each one of you. And they said, great, let's get them right now. Got up, went out, got Noel, and he handed each one of them a prepared talk on the Kennedy thing. And they're going to start out there this afternoon.
I think they have to play,
I don't know, it'll be
a signature to crack them over the weekend and get employed. So, but I bet you just keep hammering. found a way, and they agreed among themselves that this was a declaration of war, and they were going to be on the Kennedy from now on. And so we'll see. Maybe they dropped our.
They said this is a declaration of war.
Yeah.
It was pretty rough.
Yeah, very rough. Very rough. And very uncalled for. It was in the prepared remarks. It was not in the Q&A.
Oh, it was delivered.
Yeah.
He also had some very incorrect things to say about what happened in the civil rights area.
Oh, I marked that in the news summary. I said that it was the worst since Reconstruction. For good God's sakes, I mean, when the dual school system, what did his brother do, Ann Johnson? What happened on food stamps? What's happened on minority business enterprises? What's happened on, well, so many.
The record is just astounding. We put it together in the budget.
We can't get calls like our friend Father Hester to support us. I wonder if the Catholic thing doesn't put it all together. Well, I'm glad they are stood up a little, John, period. Because they, you know, also they'll enjoy it. They don't get in and slide down. These guys are drawing the sword and they want to be part of themselves. I'm inclined to think that we're going to find that it will have to be after the trips abroad. That we may have to make the Congress be looking for the issue.
No, you're laying the foundation in the long city of the text. It's all laid out there as a sort of a handbook for anybody that wants to keep score on this.
Well, I must say, this is satire. Wasn't that something? Yeah, remember the old famous name? Satire and blue. Satire. They can't drop those anymore, you know? Now, I want you to show this liberalism where you can't even play
If I can get good sentiments and Brennan, for us, are neutralized, it's very important. Would you agree?
I think the construction people are turned down before.
Good. The second point, though, is looking at enemies. Well, we can fight drugs, peddlers, fine, go ahead. That's fair. But you know, when you take the institutions of government, nobody is popular. A police popular is locked down Congress. You realize that? You realize that we're truly good for Congress, but I mean, if they screw around enough, if they screw around enough about children, then the thing to do is to put it to them, start talking about their recesses. You know, we got up there today, talking business. The first thing they wanted to talk about is the recesses. When they were going to be off for Memorial Day, when they were going to be off for Lincoln's birthday. Good luck.